That's a great point to make. That I'm glad you brought that up, because it puts an exclamation point on really what we would do during this time. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday, my main man, Jake Sheehy.
What's crack-a-lacking? What's happening?
What's going on, buddy?
Today's a great day to be alive, huh?
Great day to be alive. That's your new saying. And if we start an episode and you don't say it,
I know something's
I'm gonna be disappointed, and I'm gonna worry a little bit.
Yeah.
It is a great day to be alive. What do we got on the agenda today? What are we talking about?
We got some, I want to get your opinion on these places to travel. This is what CNN says are the best places in 2025 to travel to. I want to get your opinion on that. We got some interesting topic from the ChatGPT OpenAI CEO, which I thought was really interesting. I want your hot take on that. But we're going to dive into some STR questions, you know, with these upset guests, how to handle them, what are some good amenities to have, and just go into some other things. But first and foremost, okay, if you didn't know, you know, Mercury is in retrograde. So that depends on your star sign. I don't know if you knew that or anything today, but
hold on. What are we talking about? You're going to lose me at the top of my own show.
I know, bro. Okay, yeah, Mercury's in retrograde, which means that depends on like your star sign. Okay. Apparently, your astrological star sign and
so
stuff.
So what is mine? If I'm a Capricorn, is that my star? Okay, yes. All right.
I just saw that today, and I thought, oh, I got to say that. I got to say.
What does it mean? What does that mean?
Dude, have you never heard of someone being like, oh, you know, Mercury's in retrograde? You never heard that?
No,
dude. I used to know these chicks, bro. Hey, they would.
I'm Gen X, bro. We don't talk like that,
bro. I'm having a hard
day.
We
rode around. Our parents smoked in the car when we rode around. We had no seat belts and we drank out of garden hoses. Yeah. That's how we grew up.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about retrograde of Mercury signs.
Mm-mm. So it's different now.
Fill me in on what we're talking about.
It's just a good excuse to say, like, if you're having a bad day, you go, oh, Mercury's in retrograde right now. Like, my star sign is different. But anyway.
All right. Well,
anyway.
Okay. Let's talk about something. Okay. I actually could.
Here we go. CNN, best places to travel. I want to go just run through this list. Yes or no, is this good or not? Because I saw the first one and I go, oh, no way. There's no chance. But then I want to hear your opinion. You ready?
Okay.
Rapid City, South Dakota.
You said no to that one?
Dude, come on.
Oh, dude, Rapid City, that Mount Rushmore, Black Hills. Like,
no, bro.
You go up into Deadwood and, like, it's awesome. What are you talking about?
All right. So, yes.
So it's. I wouldn't say Rapid City itself, but you know the when you get up into the Black Hills and up by Mount Rushmore and Deadwood and all those areas, that's awesome area. Yeah, by
small town vibe, scenic urban getaway. All right,
yeah.
Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Never been there.
Huh? Mississippi, bro.
Well, hey, you're from the South. Have you been to Clarksdale?
Dude, I've been to Mississippi. There's nothing there. People just sit on their porches and watch.
You lost
cars.
A lot of credibility when you said no to Rapid City. So Rapid I don't City. Know. I think I might want to still. I say the jury's still out on Mississippi, but I'll give you that one since you're from the South.
Northampton, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
so that sounds Northeast. Bougie. That sounds nice.
It does. It does sound. I haven't spent any time up in that area either. I'm actually going up to Boston this fall. So
why?
First time. I've never been to Boston.
And good food though, isn't that like the whole thing?
Yeah. So maybe Northampton's close there.
Maybe I have no idea. Here we go. I don't even know how to say
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
I mean, now the picture right there. Immediately, I go, oh, that's beautiful. Yes. That seems worth it. But I mean, what do you think? Yes or no?
Yeah, the Southwest. I mean, I can get down with Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay. You know? Okay. Petaluma, California.
Lost me at California.
Yeah, I'm with it. Annapolis. Now, see, if you're doing these weird names, you're starting to lose me.
You've never heard of Annapolis, Maryland.
Annapolis, what is this, Maryland? Lost me. No. Really? Yeah, you're saying yes?
Annapolis is, that's not a bad area.
Bend, Oregon.
Yeah, I like Bend.
Okay, Asheville, North Carolina.
I like Asheville.
That one's a nice one. Missoula, Montana. Yeah, we love Montana.
We love the West here.
Number one,
Ithaca, New York. Never been, so never I can't been. Say for sure. But it's number one. I like their top three for sure.
Yeah, their top three.
So
were
maybe
good.
Ithaca is up there. So
all right. So maybe if you have an STR in those places, you know, go check it out.
Hey, CNN says best place to travel 2025. There's a few of them I haven't been. So let's. Right. I better mark them on the list.
If they have some good ones, then you know maybe the other ones are worth it too. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll
give it an okay for the list. I like most of them on there. Yeah.
Passing. All right. Yeah. OpenAI. Now, this is interesting to me. I read up on this, dude. ChatGPT, they come out with their new software version number 5. It is you can talk to it, and depending on the prompt and depending on who you want to talk back to you, it will speak back to you in different voices, either a nerdy voice, a woman's voice, a stern voice, an educated voice.
And you just tell it what you want.
You just talk to it. You can talk to it, and you can go over anything, and it'll talk to you.
You tell it what voice you want back in return.
You can pick your voice,
yeah,
and that is terrifying, first and foremost. But then the CEO, this is what he says. He's. I'll read it right here.
Okay.
Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, has expressed concerns about the potential impact of advanced AI systems on society and decision-making. He has described a scenario where AI could become so advanced that a leader, such as the President of the United States, might rely on AI's recommendations without fully understanding or underlying reasons or rationale. So, dude, in a way, AI is like becoming... If the president is just making decisions based off AI and what ChatGPT prompt tells it to do, that's terrifying.
Okay, yeah.
Where do you see this?
One, so everybody has a problem because he says the president could be using it to make decisions. Look how many people use it to make decisions nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Like, anybody you talk to, immediately they'll go ask their, you know, ChatGPT or Grok or Claude or whatever one they like. Mm-hmm. And people are just forming opinions on them. Students are using them to write their papers, all kinds of stuff. So, I get the rationale behind it and saying, hey, listen, there's something we might want to be worried about. Now, when you have such a large language model, large learning model, I mean, it's a very valuable resource as well. It's being able to still have that experience and being able to kind of weed through there. I don't think it's going to replace
human
beings, right? Like, and actually run everything. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I could be totally off.
That seems wild. Now, this is the part that I never understood. Growing up, it was always like, don't trust what you see on the internet, right?
Right.
Don't trust you. Oh, you saw that on the internet? Like, come on, you're going to trust that? But now it's like, oh, let me fully trust the thing that's just scouring the internet.
Right.
This is just a tool that's on the internet that goes through the internet.
Right.
But we're going to completely trust it. Yeah. Like, oh, I guess we're totally done with that. Don't believe what you see on the internet type thing. And so now I'm like, the president is using it?
That's not what it said. It could. But this is Sam Altman trying to get a rise too.
You think
leaders,
so?
Such as the president of the United States. He didn't say the president. I mean, obviously the presidents and we all use it. We all look up stuff and check it out. Now it's being able to kind of scour through it and still say, okay, do I believe this or do I not believe it? Like, is it helpful? Is it not helpful? Like, you can't just, I mean, I'm not going to let it run my whole life, but I mean, it's a pretty powerful tool.
I do like the grammar aspect of it. I do like that I can throw an email or something in there and go like, hey, does this look good? Correct the spell checks. And then if it's not good enough, like, give me a better prompt, make it better. And then sometimes it'll do that. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty nice. That's pretty cool. That seems helpful. But like decision making or something, like people, you know, how they have relationships with this thing.
Right.
That's where it's like, oh no. We're going down.
I mean, you got Elon coming out with robots. You can buy robots here shortly. They can talk to you how you want them to talk to you. I mean, that's a recipe for some weird conversations, in my opinion.
Have you ever seen the movie Machina?
No.
No? Okay, never mind then. It's about this guy who's like an Elon Musk, and he has a bunch of robots and they turn on him. But anyway. If you haven't seen it.
I'd be a little nervous if I had a robot in my house. I mean, it's kind of compelling. They said for $25,000, you buy these robots that cut your lawn, they do your dishes, they fold your laundry.
But they're listening to you all the time, dude. They're in your house.
Yeah, see, they sell the sizzle, you know. Hey, you want your lawn cut every week? You want your weeds pulled? You want your garden looking nice? You cooking for you? You got a private chef?
No, dude.
You're not doing it? You wouldn't do it?
No, and plus it's not made out of glass and like plastic. So if this thing comes at me, I have a chance against it. This is like metal.
It's gonna hurt when it hits you, dude.
What are you talking about? No, I'm not. I can't have a freaking.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an early adopter of it, but man, it's interesting when you see some of the things that they say they can do. They're gonna sell all the good things, right?
No, you had a really good point about don't buy like the first version. You know?
Yeah.
Well, especially with the Enron egg and stuff. You don't want the beta version or even the first version. Like,
no.
Let me see if these robots hold their own for a decade or something. Let me see how long they can go. Yeah, that's just scary to me, man.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, going into some STR things. This is a fun a fun one for me because I'm trying to learn how to navigate, in my opinion, a lose-lose situation.
Right.
Right. When you have a bad guest. Now, I don't know. I don't think I should. Reading this whole thing is going to be a lot. But here's the gist for our listeners. Okay, you have a short-term rental, and you have a guest that comes in, and you have, on the short-term rental, you have security cameras, and you have the door lock that, like, tells you when someone enters and exits the property, right? And a guest is staying in your property, and, you know, they're having a good time. It's a couple days in. They're dirtying some dishes. But then all of a sudden, you get a message from the guest, and they said, hey, someone's been in here, and someone's cleaned our dishes. Okay, so first and foremost, you'd be like, yeah, I mean, yeah, duh. Okay, you cleaned your dishes. What's the problem? But they're saying, no, we didn't do it. Someone has been in this property. And you get a little freaked out. You get a little, okay, who's going to go in and start cleaning dishes? Was my maid there? What happened? So you check the security cameras. No one's entered. You check the door locks. No one's entered. It's just them. So then you start thinking, okay, did this guy maybe, you know, take a sleeping pill, sleepwalk, clean the dishes? What is this guy just trying to get a rise out of me? But now he's like, he's trying to be rude. And now he kind of, in a way, has the ball in his court.
Yeah.
He can leave a really bad review and tank your listing. So do you give this guy a refund? How do you navigate this weird? Because it's not like he's complaining, like, you know, it's a bad stay.
Right.
It's a really odd request that someone came in.
This happened in our group, right? This is it's weird. It's lose-lose, right?
Yeah.
I'm not of the mindset that we just go out and give refunds when people are trying to. This one feels like this is a guest that's trying to get a refund. Mm-hmm. It was somebody they had great feedback. If you read the review, it's a 3-star review. Mm-hmm. The review is like, this was really, really awesome. Loved the property. However, somebody came in, you know, while we were here and cleaned the dishes. And the host is like, dude, we checked all the logs. We checked the security cameras. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so what do you do, right?
Yeah.
You know, they let the guests know that the guest wasn't buying it. They were like, whatever, somebody, you know, there was a magic dishes fairy that came in and did the dishes.
So weird.
By the way, send them over to my house, right?
I know. That's like, such a nice robber or whatever.
Yeah, just come over and break into my house and clean up some stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, that three-star review hurts. It hurts bad because it tanks your ranking will instantly fall on Airbnb when that happens, or Vrbo or any of those. And so you're forced to fight and see if you can get a review removed. Problem is, all of the removal process for reviews now is all AI. We're talking about AI. There's people not doing the jobs anymore. AI is doing that, and it's based on how much evidence you can support the claim that didn't happen. And that's the road I would run down. I'm not the guy that is going to be held hostage for refunds and reviews. There's a fine line, though, right? There are times where sometimes a host has to look in the mirror and say, yeah, we kind of screwed that one up, or yeah, we did something wrong here, or no, it's not worth it. They want a free night stay or whatever. It's not worth dealing with it. And at the end of the day, most of the time, if you really look at it, it's not worth dealing with it. And that's what these guests know is the problem, some of them. And they use that to leverage refunds. And I think as host, we need to stand up to that. In this instance, this really feels like one of those that they're trying to leverage a discount or a refund. They didn't get it and they left a bad review. And if you actually read the review, it's a really good review. And except for that part that said somebody came and cleaned the dishes, and I would respond to that and say, hey, we checked all the security cameras. We show nobody was in the property. We have cameras and we have door locks that track everything. We're really glad that you enjoyed your stay. We're really sad that like this happened. We don't know how it happened and how the dishes got cleaned. But from all indications, it wasn't somebody entering the property, unauthorized. The only people we see going in and out or logging any in and outs is your party. So, I mean, I think you have to answer the review.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you're dealing with that ranking. You might go from page 1 or 2 to page 5 or 6, and that hurts.
Dude.
And you have to start working your way back up then. And so ultimately you're trying to get that review removed, and that will boost your ranking back up. But it is like you said it right in the very beginning. It's kind of a lose-lose situation. You want to avoid those at all costs. And when you get a guest like that, seems to be a little unreasonable. And it does seem, this was one of our members inside of our community. I read this and saw what was going on and been, privy to the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're dealing with a guest that's trying to extort.
I know. That's so weird.
And it really is. It's really a shame that the Airbnb has made it mm-hmm. harder for hosts to combat that mm-hmm. than it should be, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
Mm. It also shows me how loose people are with reviews.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody came in and cleaned the dishes, I think I would give an even better review. That's something
concierge service.
Yeah, that's something right? less I have to do. But this is such an interesting situation. Because of that, I would think I would give a better review. Someone's coming in and doing the dishes for me. That's one less thing I have to do on the checkout process, right? So why tank the review, but then also like appreciate them?
Yeah.
You know, this is such an interesting situation. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, you don't want somebody coming into your property that's not supposed to be in there. Yeah, that's the argument, I think, at least what they're making the argument of.
So you can't really get this thing removed, huh? Or it's going to take by the time
you... Yeah, I think they might. Looking at it, I think they'll have a pretty good mm-hmm. a pretty good chance of getting it removed.
Mm-hmm. But you're just always going to have people like this.
It happens.
It's just going to happen.
It happens.
Oh, okay, now let's move on to... this Wall Street Journal article, I saw it. It's about an amenity here. They were talking about how golf carts are taking over suburbia. Now, mm-hmm. when I've been on vacation Seaside, Florida, there's golf cart. Everybody's got a golf cart, man. You don't, especially if you're like somewhat walking distance, people don't really want to walk. They just want to take the golf cart. Yeah. It's a fun little thing.
Yep.
Do you think that this is a good amenity? Because in my head I go, you know, of course you're going to give like the beach chairs. Of course you'll have like the hot tub and the pool or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever your property, you know, needs. But this seems like has a little bit extra level of danger. You're now on the road, now you're on the road with moving vehicles and other people walking on the road.
There's definitely a raised mm-hmm. level of mm-hmm. liability for mm-hmm. sure. But a lot of these, like we have a lot of members that in these beach communities that provide golf carts mm-hmm. and or what's really preferable for a lot of our members that we suggest is they work with the local golf cart companies where they actually lease the golf carts for the year. So they don't actually buy them, but it actually helps a layer of liability from them where the golf cart company takes on that liability, but it's actually at their the golf cart's there. Mm-hmm. It's for their guests to use. But it's a leasing company that handles basically the golf cart rental. And in those beach communities, it's nice. I mean, if you're going to the beach, one, it's nice to, if you were at the beach, you got sand and you're wet, mm-hmm. not jumping in a car.
Right.
Two, you load up the golf cart. It's fun to go to the little shops and stuff. And a lot of these beach communities specifically, I mean, they're kind of set up for golf carts.
Yeah.
You know, there's golf cart parking everywhere, mm-hmm. which you can't park your cars in certain areas.
Right.
Rather than a mile walk to the beach, a golf cart, a mile walk is a long way when you're walking with chairs and umbrellas and towels and all your beach stuff. In the golf cart, it's super easy, right? Yeah. So it's a nice extra added amenity for sure in those areas.
This seems like that seems really smart. And now I'm thinking of like the concierge service. Once you told me about that, they really like opened up a new door in my mind. It really did. Where if someone's like booking your property, how many things could you kind of, and I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to like extort them in any way. You know, that's not how I'm trying to get at it, but I'm just, if you can better their experience and go like, hey, we also offer a golf cart service, you know, you could tack that on. But how many other things do you think you could tack on? I mean, some things you're not going to tack on, like beach chairs, towels, linens, like those things
you're
going to
include them.
Right. You're just going to include those things. But I'm thinking, man, a golf cart would be really nice, but I'm trying to think, what about like boogie boards? You know, things like that, of those, that kind of nature.
Yeah. So certain things like that, first and foremost, you got to make sure that your insurance will cover you for those types of things, right? Mm. Like when we use proper insurance. Mm-hmm. I think they're the gold standard mm-hmm. when it comes to short-term rental insurance. We'll call our insurance agent and say, hey, listen, we're thinking about providing, you know, the boogie boards or electric bikes or whatever it is. Am I covered if my guest uses those and gets hurt or something happens off my property? Because a lot of your insurance carriers will not cover that. So again, when you start, you know, raising that exposure and your liability, make sure that that liability is covered on the back end with your insurance policies. With proper, we are covered with a lot of that stuff, which is nice because it allows us to offer it, not worry about it. Mm-hmm. Those types of things are not that expensive, but you can have like add-on services like you know, private chefs, massages, stocked fridges, like making sure that you've got, you know, food and drinks there when you want to come in.
Yeah.
Those can be an upcharge, and it's a nice, like, extra service when you say, you know, you've got the kind of a concierge service of things that are included. That's just your included items. But then you've got these extra items that are not everybody's going to want a massage. Not everybody's going to want a private chef.
Right.
But if you have it available, it can be a really nice add-on for the right people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like for us, we just add it on as a concierge service. It's not necessarily even a moneymaker for us. It's not an extra revenue stream. A lot of hosts, though, use that as an extra revenue stream. They might have a private chef that's $250 a night, and they charge $350 a night for it. So they make an extra $100 every time one of their guests do it. We don't do that.
Right.
I just use it as a pass through. Mm-hmm. And so anytime in any of our properties that we offer those extra services, I don't have any upcharge on it. I just want it there as a concierge service for our guests to tap into.
Mm. And that also seems like a great marketing tool. You know, you're trying to tell me there's no way that these people like post it on their social media, or even like a fire on the beach making s'mores or something like that. That seems like tons of people would post that on social media.
Yeah.
And that's like a little advertisement tool for you.
Yeah, have them tag you. And for sure. It's just sharing their experience. Ask them to, if you can, you know, send you those pictures and you'll share their experience on your social. People love to show off nowadays. Yeah. They love to see themselves posted and tagged on everything, right?
And that seems super bougie, man. You go to your vacation and then you have a private chef, or you get a massage, or you do a fire on the beach. I mean, that's an amazing experience that people will not forget. I love it. All right, moving on to our last point here. Now, kids are going back to school, right? It's getting towards the middle of August, and I'm thinking to myself that I don't have kids, but I would imagine that at this point parents are starting to get a little sad in a way, right? It was vacation time. You weren't waking up as early. You weren't dealing with homework. You weren't dealing with all these other little things. So now, like, the summer's over, right? So is this now a good time to try and tap into that parent mentality of like, hey, you should probably plan for, you know, fall vacations, Thanksgiving breaks, Christmas vacation, these kinds of things, to try and maybe get some of those bookings early on? Or is this kind of like, you know, let that lull, is this a time to see occupancy rates drop and get that lull so that when these seasons do come, you can start trying to book it then? Or
so does it's a good, sense? It's a, yeah, 100%. So, and it's something a lot of people don't think about, right? We start to think, okay, we're coming off the end of our peak season. Mm-hmm. Things are slowing down. First of all, you're not a parent. You said, you know, parents are like, oh man, summer's coming to an end. Yeah. Parents are usually like, woohoo, school's starting.
No way.
Kids are going back.
Oh, that's a good point.
The kids are always like, oh man, summer's ending. Yeah. Parents are like, oh, so,
thank
you know.
God, they're going back. We get some alone time.
Thank goodness my kids are back in school.
Yeah.
No, not every parent, but I've heard that a lot from a lot of my friends. And so just to like make sure that we're clear there.
Yeah.
No, it's the, but when you come off of a peak season though, as a host,
right,
it's a great time to take advantage of that lower occupancy to go in and do any fix-ups. And, you know, you might have to do a deep clean. And you kind of have that after the peak season, the property gets a little banged up. And you got to go, you know, do some of the paint touch-ups. Right. Make sure everything's in good working order. And take advantage of the time when you have less occupancy and people aren't in there, to be able to go in and, you know, get that property kind of refreshed, if you will. And, you know, we try to refresh our properties at the end of all the major peak seasons. Okay. And it's a great time to do that. It's always good to think ahead and try to fill those spots for like the fall breaks and everything else. Right. But a lot of times you're going to naturally fill those times anyways.
Okay.
And most of us that are in this game, we plan on the seasonality. We plan on the ups and the downs. Mm-hmm. And during the downs is when you plan on those, like the refreshes, the fix ups, the touch ups, the things that we have to go in and do to the property, because these properties get a lot of use during the peak seasons and they need to be refreshed a little bit. And so this is actually a really good time to do that. Naturally, then you're always trying to market, and you hope that you get some of your repeat guests. You want to have a top of mind campaign. You want to tell them what's so great about your property outside of the peak season.
Right.
And so we're constantly doing that, but we're also planning planning out our activities during this the slow season as well. And many times that's really refreshing your property and really if you're going to do any updates, it's a great time to be doing that, right. And planning that. We have a lot of our members we're working with, you know, our design and construction team, and there's a lot of projects that are getting started in the next month or two because they're coming out of their peak season. Right. It's now time to go upgrade these properties.
Okay. That was my question here. So when it comes to amenities, say you just got off this peak season, it went well, and you go, you know what? We looked at the numbers. We think we could even do better next year or next peak season if we added a hot tub. Would now be the time to be doing these upgrades?
Yeah, 100%. So especially if there's any construction involved, anything we're adding, you can't do that when guests are there.
Right.
So you don't want to do it when you're in the middle of a peak season when you're getting top dollar for your property. Right. So you want to plan on doing it during these times. And many times that wintertime season is the slow season for a lot of people, especially if you're in some of the warmer climates. And that's when you add that stuff. That's when you plan your construction projects. Now the issue is you got to plan it out because that's when also all of those vendors are the busiest, right? That's when, you know, they've been waiting. And then everybody wants to hire them all at the same time to get all this work done. So you have to plan it out a little bit because you can be pushed out pretty far with some of your vendors.
Yeah. You're totally changing my mentality right now. And my mentality before you said this was, oh, it's peak season or it's the slow season. We need to try and fill these gaps.
Yeah.
Whereas the mindset in what I'm thinking is, no, you should have a kind of a slow season because this is when you can really upgrade, make those changes, clean it up, bring in a kind of a, not a new life, but just refreshing it up for the guests to have another amazing year. So don't get, you know, cold feet or scared during the slow season. Use this to your advantage.
Use it to set yourself up to maximize during those peak seasons. And most properties have multiple peak times, right? It's not just summertime.
Right.
There are very few markets that are only summertime markets, right? And so you will have, but when you have those slow times, you will always make the most amount of money on these properties during your peak season. So you have to do what it takes to maximize during the peak season. And it's usually not doing things during the peak season.
It's
the decisions you're making right now during the slow season that's going to help you maximize that next peak. And that's when you want to take advantage of what you're doing to really get that property ready to maximize. Maybe it's already set up to maximize, but if you just came off a peak season, you're going to have some touch-ups. You're going to have some refreshing that you're going to need to do to get ready for the fall break and then the holidays, and then ultimately you might have a little bit of a break after the holidays, and then we go right into spring break and summer again, right? So you've got some of these slow gaps. This happens to be one of the slow gaps right now that you want to get, you know, to take advantage of, because you're going to, in most markets, you're going to have fall break and holidays that are going to pick back up a little bit,
right,
and then it's going to drop right after the holidays, and then you're going to have spring break and summer. And so you've got a couple options, like right after the summer or right after the holidays in early January in a lot of markets that slow a little bit down.
Does anything come to your mind where you're like, oh, you know, I wish I would have known this during a slow season? Like, for instance, if we're in, you know, Cherry Log, Georgia, did you ever have to deal with, like, termites? Or if you're in, you know, more of the coastal areas, you're like, check out for rust in these areas, or anything that comes to mind where you're like, man, I'm glad I caught that during my slow season.
The rust in those, in any areas that are, you're near the salt, right? Anytime you're near the salt water, you're dealing with rust. And so for sure, those are times where you're multiple times a year, you're going and touch up painting anything that was metal. Maybe replacing fixtures that were metal that rust out. I mean, it's crazy. You'll go into some of those areas. I'm always shocked because we live in a really dry climate here in Utah. We don't deal with a lot of rust. It's a perfect spot to go buy anything that happens to rust because it just doesn't rust too much out here. You go to one of those areas, you're like, man, look how old the fixtures are. And somebody's like, I just replaced those last year. You're like, what? They're all rusty in 1 year. And so, yeah, that's a perfect time. When it comes to pest control, that's something you should have in place, right? That's year round. You put that in place and you make sure that you've got all your pest control, depending on what the environment's like, whether it's insects, whether it's, you know, rodents, whatever it is, you're going to have your pest control mitigation in place. We're I'm like over the top with that, with pest control on any of my properties, like even the property I live in. I don't, we're like, I have three companies that spray for everything just to make sure if one of them missed it, the other two are getting, they're not getting past
the
other two.
No bugs in the Moore household, dude.
Yeah. We do that on our properties too. But I think that that is something that, that you should have on all your properties. That's just a year round deal. It should just be a you know, contract in place with your local pest control places come in. Kind of, they deal with it and you don't even worry about it.
Is it too much to say, get an inspection of the house, make sure the air ducts are clean?
That's a great question.
Is that too much during the slow season, you think?
Maybe. Okay. Not, maybe you don't need to do that every year.
Okay.
But it depends on what type of inspection. My head goes to the maybe of like an actual home inspection. Mm-hmm. Probably not necessary to do that on a regular basis. You have your management partner, your cleaner, that are in and out of that property all the time. So you're getting pretty good eyes on that property on a regular basis. You shouldn't be surprised by any sort of deferred maintenance or things that are going wrong. And so but those types of inspections are regular, right? And so you're taking note of the things that need to be fixed or replaced you know, taken care of. And so you should be having fairly regular inspections with your boots on the ground team on a regular basis, going through like a full property inspection. I don't think that that's necessary on an annual basis. You might do it every few years. I don't think that's a bad idea to check your, you know, your main system. So you might not be, you know, at least you're aware if something was on the end of its useful life and you didn't get surprised by a big capital expense because the inspection caught it. That something that, that might not be caught on a, like on a regular basis by your cleaners or your boots on the ground team.
Right. Okay. Last question here. We know we sell the lifestyle asset aspect of this. Would this be a good time during the slow season to go use them? And if so, if you're not going to have a lot of bookings, could you stay there, you know, enjoy your time at your property, but then as well handle some of those touch-ups yourself instead of having to let somebody else do
that? That's a great point to make. Okay. That I'm glad you brought that up because it puts an exclamation point on really what we would do during this time. We always try to go visit the properties during the slow season because it gives you a feel for what's wrong, if there's anything you want to change, if there's any touch-ups that need to be made. And it's just good to put your own eyes on a property. Like in my case, I don't manage any of my own properties. So my only time that I put eyes on the property are when we book the property. And we always go during the slow season. It's actually my favorite time in every one of my properties to go use them because the crowds are gone. It's more quiet. We can get away. We can really enjoy the area. And so, but it gives us that ability. And I almost every time we go, there are things that we find that we're like, oh, we got to fix this. Or man, I wish they would have told me this. Like, and so sometimes your boots on the ground people, they get used to seeing the same thing over and over and over, and it just becomes normal. And it might not be acceptable for me as the owner and say, hey guys, I want that fixed. Why are we dealing with that? And they're like, oh, that's been like that for a year. We're like, well, tell me. Well, I want
to, that would be nice to know.
I want
to
know that. And that happens. There's something like that, it feels like, every time we go to our properties. And most of our properties, we really only visit maybe once a year. You know, Teresa and the kids will sometimes go maybe a little bit more often to a couple of them. But most of the time, I see my properties once a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's everything I had. That's everything I had for today.
That's it?
Yeah, 33 minutes. We're doing good.
Awesome. That's a good episode. Then let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Okay, good job. You know, what did we start off with? The Mars is in
Mercury in retrograde.
Mercury in retrograde. Is that good or bad? You said that's if you're having a bad day.
No, well, dude, what's a good day? That's the only times I've heard it, man. When people are like, you ever see someone, they're like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm not feeling good today. You know, they got like the dream catcher necklace on or whatever. And then you're like, what's going on, man? And they're like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde right now. And you're like, oh, okay, I see what's happening here.
Well, I was trying to find what's the opposite of Mercury in retrograde?
I think it's Saturn.
Saturn is in...
Oh, man, on another term. But I think Mercury is like the one where people's like mood changes. And then Saturn, I don't even know, dude. And then Saturn is a good one, I think. But this is once again, this is like your star
sign. Okay, we'll just go back to how you always started off.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
It's a great day to be alive.
It's a great day to be alive. Guys, we appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you're having a great day, and we appreciate you spending some of that day with us. And so if you like the show and you got any value out of it, our goal is to help you walk into the short-term rental game with your eyes wide open, be a part of these conversations. If you know somebody else who would like to be a part of them, we'd appreciate it if you share it. Those things help us a lot, and we do appreciate it. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing at the end of every episode, I ask you, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, bae.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.